now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our special guest is Mary Ann Fisher of the Restoration Activation Project. Mary Ann is a dear friend of the Cosmic Switchboard Show. We've had her on before, and she's also been on a panel that we chaired in the recent past about the divine toxic feminine and the feminine goddess programming. Mary Ann will shortly be hosting a panel about something similar, and I'll let her talk about that if she chooses to do so. So without any further ado, Mary Ann Fisher, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Hey, James. It's always wonderful to connect with you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, there's so much to talk about. Like you pointed out before we started, the last time I was on your show, we talked about current events, how things kind of unfolded, to, in your words, the unfoldment process, and how we got here. And today, the topic, the focus of our show will be what we need to do to up our game, to activate the warrior encoding within us. So I'm really excited about this discussion we're going to have.
Yeah, I think it's really important. There's a lot of, I think, misunderstandings, and I'll get into some of that when we get going. But yeah, I'm excited too. It's good.
Tell us a bit about what you've been doing and how are things going in Texas from your perspective?
Well, actually, all things considered, considering that this is supposed to, you know, was George Floyd's stomping grounds and his remains got sent back here and all, there was, you know, some of the rioting and stuff going on here. But all in all, it's been pretty smooth. And I will have to say, I think I touched on this in the last time we spoke, our last discussion, that the police force here hasn't just been rolling over in terms of just, you know, getting in lockstep with what the higher-ups kind of seem to be pushing them to these days. In other words, they are more about, yeah, individualism. But there's some advantages to living here.
Yes. It's a open carry state. It's a concealed carry state, if memory serves. So,
yes.
You know, the Second Amendment and states' rights are very important there, but there's also an understanding that the ideal of what America stands for, the patriotism, is very strong, always has been in Texas. So you're actually, I think, in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, heaven knows there's been very, you know, some frustrating times over the years, but right now, I feel as good here, I think, about being here as any place on the planet, I guess. You know, it's all madness everywhere. It's just a matter of degree, right?
Yeah, it is. This is true. Well, give us a situation recap. You know, we talked about the things that we want to discuss in the show, that there's been an evolutionary cycle transition in process. And I'd like you to elaborate on that point. And there's a convergence point that you've spoken about in the recent past as well. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. This is the analogy that I use frequently, because it's really a good analogy, is that we are currently, you know, evolution, consciousness evolution goes through cycles. And to give listeners an idea of how that works, I recommend that they go watch one of my recent commentaries entitled Epochs, Acceleration and Shadow Revelations, that will give them a good idea of the ages of man, the ages through which, you know, the phases through which human consciousness has basically been evolving, or I should say devolving, regressing. And I'll tell readers too, for those of you who don't know me, that regressive consciousness and progressive consciousness are my terms for what many would call the dark and the light, or the good, you know, the bad and the good, or the good and the evil. So regressive and progressive consciousness. And those are the two primary basic qualities of consciousness. So those are my terms, and I use those so as to keep myself clear in a place of no judgment. You know, I think language is terribly important, and the English language is so full of spells and trickery, and so I just try to do what I can. So that's where I'm coming from when I use it, but those terms. But these cycles, we're nearing the end. We're phasing out of the current cycle, getting ready to phase into the next. And the convergence point, that's my term again, is the point wherein this current cycle, quote, ends, and the next one, quote, begins. And of course, there's not, you know, there may actually be a singularity point somewhere in there, but it is a phase. It's a process, a phasing out and a phasing in. So yes, that's what's going on. And the it's very apparent for the, you know, to those who have the eyes to see that for as far back in even recorded history, as convoluted as that might be sometimes, that human consciousness has not been evolving. You know, are we any better off as a society, you know, cultures, you know, than we were 5,000 years ago? And in my humble opinion, we're not. We're still killing people. People are getting murdered. There's genocide. There is abject poverty, you know, division of, you know, the wealth distribution is extremely imbalanced, and things are just getting worse. And as we're witness to right now, again, the birthing analogy in mind, what we're experiencing is a major contraction. And in the birthing process, the more intense and more frequent, see, we've had like a contraction upon a contraction here. And I'll get into that in a second. But the closer we are to the, quote, birthing point of whatever's next for us. So that's important to understand that that's going on here. And that's what these current events, you know, these intensely regressive globe-spanning psyops, in other words, the COVID and BLM Antifa terrorism that's been going on, and in conjunction with what you and I pretty much talked about last time, is the correlative upsurges in paranormal unfoldments and experiences by individuals, coupled with the inflow during this transition cycle of both highly regressive dominant and progressive dominant forces of consciousness and energies into this reality that are basically beyond our comprehension. But that's all part of the inbuilt perpetual balancing process. You know, the universe balancing, keeping itself in balance between those two qualities of consciousness, you know, and within each of those qualities of consciousness, you know, they comprise masculine and feminine energies, both of them, but keeping itself in balance. So that plays out within us, through us, between us, and the way we, you know, our interactions in this reality, and so forth. So that's kind of what's going on right now, and the energies are intense and chaotic, not just regressive, but progressive. And we can get tumbled under by this wave of transition, if you will, if our energies are not compatible, so to speak, vibrationally compatible with these extremely progressive dominant energies. We can get overtaken by those as easily as regressive dominant waves of energy. In other words, put in other terms, this whole business, you know, that the new age, you know, we're just going to slip on into 5D, whatever the hell that means. All we have to do is sit back and take it all in. And it's like, no, I'm here to tell you that's not how it works, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's that element, the one to just sit on the fence and then just wait for things to develop and have this kind of smug self-assurance that, well, I'm spiritually evolved, I've already attained self-mastery, I've already ascended, so everything around me is Maya and delusion, and I choose not to be a part of it. I opt out. In so many words, that's essentially what they're doing. So in a way, they become pacified. It's a form of pacification. And, you know, what I've noticed also is, you know, in the past, and this goes back decades now, when I'd be giving a lecture or I'd be talking in a group of people, about some of the more aggressive beings out there, reptilians and other negative beings that make it a point of keeping the human race in a state of abject misery and submission. What I've noticed is sometimes this triggers people, and the triggering runs the gamut, where they can just either instantly fall asleep, they get agitated, argumentative, hostile, they feel a compulsion to get up and smoke a cigarette or get up and leave the room, or something happens where they're not able to take in the message and filter it through their own perceptions and process it and either accept it or set it aside for more consideration and research later, or objectively say, no, that I've got, there's nothing in there for me, which is kind of a normal thought process. What happens with them is there's a knee-jerk reaction. And I think what's happened, Marianne, with the cultural Marxist programming, the incessant spell casting, the drumbeat in the media and in Hollywood, it's led to all these plugins, to use a computer term, of all these messages into the psyche, into the very energetic core and DNA of people that have been, over many countless millennia, their bloodlines have been genetically programmed. So when they get exposed to this cultural Marxist indoctrination, all that disinformation, all that rage, because it's all about engendering and directing rage in a direction which suits the archontic masters and working through their plantation managers. So I see a similar dynamic to when I used to speak about reptilians, and still do, and people fall asleep or they get agitated or they want to get up and smoke a cigarette. When you bring up basic concepts to some of these social justice warriors and people that are sympathetic to the whole BLM Antifa movement, instead of reasoned debate, you get this knee-jerk, hostile, or defensive reaction from them. And that's very similar to the programming knee-jerk responses that I've seen. So that tells me there is an archontic demiurge aspect to it, too. All the archontic programming, all the communist Marxist indoctrination that they've received, now they've been turned loose on society. They have a voice through social media. So it's even more important for us to kind of like, you know, be a fish swimming through all this, but it not latching onto our energy field, not latching onto our psyche, and bringing us down to this emotional negative response level, which I see happens with these social justice warrior, Black Lives Matter types all the time. You can't even ask them a simple question or make a simple comment in their presence without them having going into a conniption fit.
You're talking about pathological level cognitive dissonance. Extreme cognitive dissonance. That, you know, what we're seeing is the culmination of all the things you were just talking about. Within them and through them, and the, you know, the archontic demiurge is also another valid perspective on all of this. I know that Tom Montauk has done a lot of, you know, put a lot of good information out about that, and that ties in, as far as I'm concerned, to the whole AI thing. Directly, the underlying and what their ultimate goal is, not just to, you know, the overseers, not just to control, have absolute control over this reality and the beings that exist here, but to be able to sit back and push buttons. You know, AI does it all for them through us. So that definitely ties in the whole. You know, my understanding is that would really, that could kind of really explain the whole AI thing, you know, early understandings of AI, you know, the demiurge thing, you know, the organic demiurge, you know, the basically the soul of this whole solar system and world and all of that. But in modern terms, you know, the corrupt demiurge would be the AI underpinnings of all of this. So, yeah. It's basically we're seeing madness on every corner now. People are just snapping, cracking. I mean, even people that I know that are, they're not necessarily on a journey like you and I are, but strong-minded, you know, solid people. And this, the pressure is taking its toll. I'm hearing some of them say things like I've never thought that I would hear them say, that they're, you know, like getting to the point of cracking up themselves. And, you know, that's difficult for me as an empath. I have to really keep up my own, I'm sure you do too, my own inner defense mechanisms and all that, you know, people that I really care about and all, in addition to being able to withstand the collective goings on and all of those energies. So it's crazy right now. And I think it's really important to get out there, you know, things like we're doing, all the other, you know, whatever ways and means you do it, but to help people get a real good handle on, you know, the serious, sincere aspirants, sincere self-mastery aspirants. And that's my term for it too. Again, spiritual and spirituality. I use those terms, but that's my way of keeping myself, my own psyche and my own energies and all, not plugged in to any of the old, you know, as few as the old dogmatic references and old references that, you know, a new think, new thought, new creation. So kind of switching away from old terms. And yes, I still use soul, but that too is, you know, I use that interchangeably with, you know, template. So, but yeah, it's crazy. And I think it's really important to get some, to offer people some clear understanding around what a self-mastery warrior really is, what that entails. Because there's a lot of misunderstandings out there right now, even among sincere aspirants around that term, you know, warrior, spiritual warrior, whatever. But misunderstandings that can lead to some believing that they're on a spiritual warrior's path when they really aren't, and others to believe that the role of a warrior has no place in soul's evolutionary process, or, you know, the awakening process, whatever you call that. So I guess my underlying intention for our discussion today is to help listeners get a really strong grasp of what that term really means, why attuning to and actualizing your warrior encoding is so crucial right now, and kind of get some examples of how that would play out in the context of day in and day out co-creational choices. But before we get more into that, I think it's really vital to understand that from a higher level of awareness perspective, the warrior is on a journey that leads him or her to the fullest possible embodiment of core self. In other words, essence layer of being will for his or her soul in this incarnation, by way of attuning to, embracing, and co-creationally aligning with his or her unique mission at this point in time. And for the true warrior, carrying out the mission is not only his or her highest priority, but it's the nexus from which all of his or her perspectives, perceptions, states of being, and co-creational choices unfold. So that's the best way I can describe how perfectly relevant warrior is to this discussion and this process, because it takes a mountain of courage and tenacity and strength to move through this process. But, you know, getting back to the situation, you know, doing a bit of situation assessment, that's another thing. Self-mastery warriors become skilled strategists. Strategy, strategy, strategy. We have to be, because if nothing else, you know, the regressive overseers and their minions, boy, are they good strategists. We don't like the strategies that they use and the tactics, but they're good at it. You got to give them that. But they are getting sloppy. You and I have talked about this before. And the more that we become skilled strategists, the better off, quote, and I don't like calling it a movement, the better off that each of our these individuals on this journey will be, and I'll get more into that in a little bit. But so, you know, the warrior is keenly aware that the manipulative tactics and techniques devised by regressive beings, the ones at the very top of the pyramid of control and their highest level minions, are crafted expressly to accomplish multiple multi-layered goals. In other words, when they, whatever psyop they got going on, they're looking to achieve multiple things. Strategic thinking. Warriors counterpoise those measures by viewing and assessing situations from different angles across every layer of being, just like they do, so that we can acquire an accurate diagnosis that enables us to respond in kind at every layer of being in ways that advance our missions rather than undermining them. So that's key. Now, just to be clear for listeners, the word diagnosis derives from the Greek preposition dia, which means through or by way of, and the Greek noun gnosis, which means knowledge, specifically higher order knowledge of self and reality. In other words, knowledge of what we really are, why we're really here, how reality works. And therefore, diagnosis means through knowledge. So when we're able to attune to the root level causes and inherent nature of the regressive dominant conditions and unfoldments in this reality, we can discern an accurate diagnosis that empowers more progression-oriented co-creational choices, which enable us to keep progressing on our path, which enable others to progress on theirs. Now, I'm going to touch on one of the key root level causes. You know, there are, you know, there's an array, vast array of contributing factors. But the fundamental root level cause underlying the millennia spanning, you know, the increasingly regressive spiral of collective consciousness, and therefore the types and qualities of the conditions we're seeing in this reality, is humanity's entrapment in identification with, and in many cases, obsessive attachment to the mind-body complex and material layer of being, both of which stem from deep egoic identification. Now, although it's a bit oversimplified, the video game scenario affords a pretty accurate analogy for our situation. So, humans basically became so enamored by the physical form, its unfathomably extensive co-creational powers, and five sensory experience, that we decided to fully infuse our consciousness into the form. Of course, being tempted and encouraged all along the way by regressive beings, the ones who ultimately usurped this reality, because they envied the human form and its co-creational capacities, the co-creational prowess of human consciousness. And over the course of who knows how many millennia, we've forgotten that we're game creators in the analogy, and the gamers, so to speak, and have come to believe instead that we're the avatars. And as a result, we have confined ourselves to and become dependent upon the overseers' desired social constructs and game parameters, so to speak, for this reality, rather than those that our souls were encoded to co-create and where we were before all of this. So that's it in a nutshell. I'll provide another quick perspective on not only what's unfolding here, but what is incumbent upon the warrior, those of us who know we're here to counterpoise and to bring more back into balance this regressive, imbalanced reality. And to do that, I'm going to read a quick excerpt from my self-mastery guidebook. Quote, "Fear and suffering permeate human consciousness, and therefore this reality. They've become so intense that humanity as a whole is poised to either discharge them and transition to more progressive states of being and co-creation, or give way to them and lapse into a regression freefall. Individuals seeking progressive means of co-creating and living in an entirely new world are stepping forward in countries around the world. But progressive co-creation cannot unfold through fragmented, fearful consciousness. For those with an essence level desire and will to make the transition to integrative states of being and co-creation, there is a path that will lead them there. A path fraught with perils and potential pitfalls along its way. This path is not mapped out for us. It unfolds in line with the uniqueness of each individual who chooses to step onto it. All manner of travelers who have gone before us offer directions for following in their footsteps. But retracing another's path only forestalls the unfoldment and traversal of our unique path to new creation, and a new world that will unfold therefrom. Those who seek to traverse this narrow, uncharted, often precarious path must look beyond all predictions and existing paradigms, as they are obstructions that prevent us from seeing what we need to see in order to proceed. It's a matter of venturing into, exploring, and becoming wise, agile navigators of the unexpected, uncertain, unforeseeable, unknown, a quest born of and guided by the unfathomably intelligent essence layer of our being. To partake in this adventure, we must eliminate within us and extricate ourselves from all that contradicts and opposes the truth of what we are and what we were created for, and all that impedes our awareness thereof. This process of purification, integration, and unification, self-mastery attainment, is the essential initiatory element of this profound undertaking. End quote. So I hope that pretty well sums up not only where we are, but the potential of where we can end up and what we've got to do to get there. So
you look at the inverse of that, the identification with the avatar, which he so aptly described. Now the cultural Marxist and the media and the universities are telling us we're just blood bags, that were inherently, and the religions before them, which were many of them controlled, were telling us we were born with original sin anyway. So we're original sin blood bags. And by constantly harping on our outward appearance, particularly if one happens to be Caucasian, i.e. white, now there's a shame-based element. It's another layer on top of the avatar limitations, if you will. Now one has to feel ashamed, guilty, accepting responsibility for all these injustices, real or contrived. So that's layer upon layer upon layer of shame, of guilt, of self-loathing. So what happens is these people that buy into that, they were already pretty much halfway out of their body anyway in a disembodied state. But now, because so many are kneeling down now, so many are buying into this whole shame-based, just to use but one example, but like you said, the way the controllers operate is they try to cover as many bases as possible. There is the race war, there's the gender war, there is this division, there's that fracture, et cetera, et cetera. So we have people that are warring with themselves about their own gender, about their own sexuality. We have people warring with themselves about their own race, about their status in life, about their ancestry. And those people in this kind of inner turmoil are getting more and more disembodied. And when they get disembodied, they get into their headspace, which is already filled with all this cultural Marxist archontic dogma, and then the voices in their head and the entities working through them intensify their activities. And now you see this mindless kind of pod people point and shriek activity going on, which is the extreme opposite of what you're talking about, the self-mastery and being able to work through all of these innate handicaps. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, the archontic forces have layer upon layer put all this shame, put all this trauma upon us individually and collectively. And I was just thinking in the recent past, Marianne, about how much trauma, you know, collectively the human race has been subjected to. Here in Australia, it was the bushfires. It was then after that, on the heels of the bushfires, there was the storms and floods and power outages, and we were just getting out from under that when the COVID-19 hit. And so you have this spectacle of people that are essentially shut down, locked down in their houses. They have to practice social distancing. The economy has been wiped out. What they've done with the depression is it took years to build up to World War II, which led to essentially the eradication of Europe, the destruction of European culture and identity, amalgamated it into the EU, the UN, NATO, etc. And now what they've done, and we can all agree that the supplanting and the decimation of the Native American population, to cite but one example, was cruel, unnecessary, and evil. But the forces behind it, once again, the archontic demiurge forces working through their hybrid plantation managers, same ones involved in Australia that were responsible for wiping out the Aborigines. But what they've cleverly done is they've activated that anger within all these people and directed it not only at the human race, but at themselves. So this is clearly it's beyond divide and conquer. It's like an autoimmune response on the entire human race attacking itself, which can only benefit the archontic rulers. Even more reason to recognize that all this turmoil and chaos that's going on around us, to recognize all the traps, to recognize the triggers that are meant to pull us in and get involved in hopeless, pointless, loose-draining arguments on social media, and recognize we're in this world, but we're not of it. We're here on a mission, like you said. And the sooner people can recognize, and I don't understand fully yet, nor comprehend or grasp the magnitude and scale of what my mission is. I know I'm on the journey. I know as time goes on, and the linear time, as we understand it, as you know, Marianne, right, increasing at an exponential rate. As time goes on, if I keep working on myself, this unfoldment process will begin, will continue, rather, within me. And so the ability to step back and let all this negativity wash over us like water off a duck's back, but still maintain our situational awareness, still maintain and develop this spiritual warrior mentality. This is a war that's being fought on many different levels.
And beginning from within ourselves.
Beginning within ourselves. And what they've taught or try to teach everyone is we're just shame-based blood bags. If you're white, you're automatically guilty of mass genocide. If you're a developing baby in a woman's womb, you're a potential rapist when you're born. Much better to abort you before you get that opportunity. So it's gender wars, it's race wars, and it's all anti-human. When people bring it down to that baseline level, Marianne, then they begin to realize in broad outline the way this game, and that's a wonderful analogy, a video game that you pointed out, that all the different levels, the avatar, but it's more than an avatar, because we are oversouls, and this is part of our oversoul essence is encapsulated in this body, which they keep trying to tell us is shameful and guilt-ridden and et cetera, et cetera. We've got to work past that, and we got to maintain our situational awareness and recognize as time goes on, we keep doing the self-work, we begin to plug into those energies. We begin to anchor literally higher frequencies, which yes. will give us more insight, more data dumps, if you will, at a very, very deep level. So please, continue.
And well put, James. They're basically, at this stage of the game, they're all a bit mad themselves. I mean, the overseers, madness. They're so obsessed with getting their agenda fully in place. And I think sometimes, you know, we are also a source of amusement. And I don't say that to get people up there, out there riled up, but a number of them that enjoy watching all of this. And, you know, the way you described it, it's like total, to become obsessed with the avatar to the point where we've forgotten what we really are. And like I said, we're game creators. We've created this game, quote, the paradigms and constructs of this game for them because they can't do it themselves. It's like, this is what's so important for people to realize. They didn't co-create it. We did. Because of all of this conditioning and genetic tampering and the trauma, all of it, we built it for them and confined ourselves to it, completely forgetting that we create. We're the creators of, quote, games. We're the gamers, so to speak. And we've confined ourselves to believing that we're the avatars. And this is what happens. Self-regression, self-cannibalism. This is a totally anti-life reality right now. Anti-life. And there's only certain ways, there's only certain steps and processes that we can work through to get on the other side of this. And the self-mastery attainment, this is what I call it, because it is about mastery of self, pure and simple. To get back in tune with, you know, we have to first begin laying a foundation. And that entails first and foremost reclaiming self-responsibility, that we are the co-creators of this reality, and that reality transformation can only unfold by way of self-transformation, as within, so without. And another key point in this is that it is imperative that we acquire, begin embodying, and applying higher order knowledge of ourselves and reality in our day-to-day life situations. And by higher order knowledge, I'm speaking in terms of not just, you know, attaining increasingly higher or deeper understandings of what we really are, what comprises us, so to speak, and why we're here, you know, our missions, because every constituent of consciousness, you know, self-aware sentient consciousness exists for a purpose and or mission, whatever you choose to call that. But also higher order knowledge of what reality really is and how it works. For example, the constituent components of reality, in other words, consciousness, you know, the masculine, feminine principles, vital energies, you know, the basic constituents. The whole of unexpressed consciousness at the very base level comprises vital energy and potential. But to also start getting our arms around things like, you know, really understanding the perpetual balancing process, which I touched on earlier, the principles of creation, in other words, the operating system of this reality, including understanding the primary differences between progressive and regressive qualities of consciousness and co-creation, and the rules of engagement, in other words, the code of conduct for this reality. And now just I'd like to start just kind of giving listeners a list of important tips that will enable them to engage in wiser navigation through regressive events and situations along their paths. And number one on the list is, if you're still sitting on the fence, you know you're here to counterpoise what's going on to help bring this reality back into balance by way of service to others, co-creation and progression of consciousness that ultimately advances your own. It's time to get off of that fence. Current events are clear indicators of the accelerating cycle transition process and the nearing convergence point. And, you know, the one thing each of us is guaranteed in life is that the mind-body complex, the avatar, is going to die. It's going to stop working. And what we're not guaranteed is knowing when our time in this incarnation is up. Reality unfolds from the, emerges through the perpetually unfolding present moment. In other words, all we have is today and right now. And today is the day to embark on a self-mastery journey, if you haven't already, and to amplify your and accelerate your efforts to progress if you're already on a journey. Number two, relentlessly seek truth and be willing to follow and co-creationally align with it wherever that may take you. You know, we've got to continually stretch and expand our current levels of awareness, of higher order knowledge about ourselves, and do our best to embody and lead our life in concordance with our deepest level understandings of that from one moment and situation to the next. And this entails developing an ever-widening openness and receptivity to knowledge of higher order truths, which literally permeate the entirety of manifest consciousness. And by doing that, we activate our faculties for awareness of it, for awareness of these higher level of awareness understandings. And when such knowledge enters your field of awareness by way of intuition, gnosis, or even external sources, do your best to neither abort it or in any way limit its unfoldment by clinging to your current levels of knowledge and understanding. Letting go of that, being open to something new. People get, you know, I present so many different concepts that I have no attachment to whatsoever. They're just basically, they reflect my understandings at this point, but I have no attachment to them. And I speak to that frequently in my commentaries. It's like, why would I ask you to, quote, believe something that I don't believe? I'm always open. That's happened to me so many times. I finally got in the flow of that you don't hold on to anything. It's always about, you know, getting greater and greater altitude, so to speak. Higher and higher, more zoomed out perspectives of what's going on. And challenging the status quo is integral to pursuing truth. Simply going along to get along compromises our integrity. So don't be afraid to question everything, every single bit of information that you've been spoon-fed during the course of your life. And I don't care who is spoon-feeding it to you. And this takes courage and a sincere soul-level desire to align with your encoded mission. And by choosing to see beyond and color outside the lines, so to speak, you begin transforming your inner and ultimately the external landscape. And if or whenever you're experiencing doubt, and we all do along the way, remind yourself that by undertaking this profound work, you're not only working to free yourself and your soul from eternal entrapment in this reality, but paving the way for countless other self-mastery warriors or would-be warriors to do the same. Which brings me to the next insight. Remember that what's going on right now, and however you're reacting or responding to it, are not just about you. at the consciousness layer of our being, we're inextricably interconnected with and interdependent upon all other constituents of consciousness, the collective, as it were. And as such, all of the thoughts, beliefs, ideologies, perceptions, emotions, and states of being through which you co-create impact all other constituents to some degree and extent. All of the violence, depravity, cruelty, apathy, lack of empathy and compassion that we witness perfectly reflect the degree and extent to which progression-encoded souls have either forgotten or are not co-creating in accordance with that great truth, the great truth of our interconnectedness and interdependence. The next point, this is, needs no explanation. Make all of your co-creational choices from the ground of unwavering authenticity and integrity. Number five, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Change is a constant. The problem is we've been so deeply conditioned and entrained to resist change and stay in our sometimes quite miserable comfort zones. By not taking a self-determined, intentional, proactive role in co-creation and the innate ongoing process of change, we give tacit consent to the changes that the overseers have in mind for us and help co-create them by just going along to get along. Stepping out of your comfort zones is critical right now if you're serious about stepping into and fulfilling your own unique mission. Number six, let go of what other people think. The unawakened, soulless, and regression-encoded beings in this reality provide a globe-spanning army, so to speak, of mind-body complexes who make perfect hosts for the consciousness and thought projections of regressive dominant entities. So it is critical that you come to understand what thoughts really are, where they come from, and learn how to quickly discern their presence so that you can dispel all of those which do not arise from intuition. And people, I can tell you that 99.99% of our thoughts are not arising in response to intuition. They're all externally sourced. Number seven, and by the way, being concerned about what other people think, and these next few pointers that I'm going to give are clear indicators. You know, if you're experiencing that, those are indicators that you need to do some work around attachment to the avatar. Because otherwise, when we're in that flow of understanding what we really are, we absolutely don't give a crap about what other people think. We don't compare ourselves with others, and we don't take anything personally. And of course, none of us here on this planet have attained that pure state, including me. But, you know, avoid comparing yourself with others. Take a pass on rating, ranking, condemning, and competing. You, your journey, and your mission in this incarnation are inherently unique. It is biased judgmental comparison that underpins divisive, non-integrative, and therefore regressive co-creation. Instead of comparing yourself, your situation, or your circumstances with others, work to cultivate keen, non-prejudicial discernment toward a more full apprehension, acceptance, and co-creational alignment with your uniqueness and non-competitive symbiotic expression of that. Another indicator is, you know, if you're taking things personally, then that's another indicator that you're have work to do around identification, you know, ego identification and attachment to the avatar. Don't take anything personally. Work on that. Number nine, do whatever it takes for you to learn how to face and overcome self-doubt and your fears, especially the fear of death. Number 10, extricate yourself from relationships with regressive dominant people to the greatest extent possible. And I know this is one of the most difficult things out there, especially if that relationship is with a family member, you know, a significant other upon which you've become, you know, reliant or dependent. And it's extremely difficult. But if you're truly on this journey, and this is what you're here for, those relationships are going to implode at some point anyway. Implosion can take all different manner of expression. In other words, things could be a lot worse for you by waiting for it to implode, by way of, you know, energetic and consciousness compatibility being so far off that the relationship can only implode. But that can implode and have much more challenging potential unfoldments than if we choose to do it ourselves and in our own way. Number 11, learn how to disentangle from and let go of all attachments and addictions that keep your co-creational choices focused on materialism and entrenched in the material layer of being. So detach, detach, detach. Now, this doesn't mean when I say non-attachment, this doesn't mean that we're dissociating ourselves from those we do love and care about. In fact, the detachment that I'm referring to is about becoming identified with those relationships, which is conducive to unhealthy attachments and identifications with those relationships. When we begin to let go of attachments, unhealthy attachments, the paradox, the beautiful paradox of that, we embody a deeper understanding of what real love really is. Real caring, true caring, compassion for the people in our lives. That's the beautiful paradox of doing that. And number 12, I don't care how many times you've heard it, it is always worth repeating. Develop a gratitude-framed perspective of life, no matter what's unfolding around you. And there are a few other concepts that I would like to get into in this segment, if we have time, that will help you accelerate your self-mastery progress. And that first one being to adopt and embody a holistic, multi-layer of being perspective of self, other, and reality, which facilitates the strategic approach that we need right now to the self-mastery attainment process in order to counterpoise all that's going on right now in ways that keep our soul from going under in the process. Next, acquire a deep understanding of and learn how to engage in self-work. In other words, the process of identifying, acknowledging, and healing unhealed personal and collective wounding and trauma, like James was talking about earlier. Identifying, acknowledging, and clearing regressive programming and entrainment. All this stuff is called shadow work. You've all heard of it. And although many are engaged in this process, it's really critical that we address it from every layer of our being, not just the psychological. Learning how to clear and unify and attain mastery of our three primary energy centers and their emanations. We're talking serious self-responsibility. You know, the mind center, the heart center, and the creative center. And again, restoring the mind-body complex itself, you know, the physical form, to increased performance levels, you know, the physical, mental, emotional, and energetic well-being of the body, and assessing and bringing all areas of your life into alignment with your self-mastery aspirations. In other words, your personal and professional relationships, your job, career, or business, your personal environments, your recreational activities, and so on. Bringing all those things into alignment with our mission and I mean energetic alignment, and taking steps to make adjustments in those areas of our lives as needed. Next, accepting, acknowledging, and learning how to use and rely upon your innate faculties and energies for self and space protection and prevention of regressive interference, for example. In contrast to turning to others, you know, turning to or and relying upon others or even physical objects that may not always be available to us, you know, in the days and years and weeks to come. We might not always have that special crystal or geode at our disposal or whatever other physical objects that we use. And there's nothing wrong with using those objects. But now is the time to start clearing and doing this work so that we can begin to really access those capacities within ourselves. Because to tell you the truth, the only reason things like saging and crystals and all those things work is because of your energies and faculties and your belief that that object can protect you. And that's the truth of it. Learning how to mitigate, to heal, and even prevent physical illness and injury and psychological, emotional disorders. This is a journey for me. This process for me began quite by accident. I literally stumped my toe one day and took some steps, and it's like, whoa, that worked. And taking it from there. I'm not special here. These are things that can be learned. And it was that simple. I don't know what possessed me in that moment. And I think it goes back to, in retrospect, I figured out it's because I was present moment focused, at least to some extent. Obviously not when I stumped my toe, or I wouldn't have stumped my toe. But in the moment, in that nanosecond afterwards, I was so in the moment that I consciously did a thing, and it's like, boom, the pain never, I never felt the pain. And we're talking about sticking out right toe. I probably broke it, but I intercepted. And this is in contrast to being solely reliant upon pharmaceuticals and the healing services of others. Now, please don't mishear this, people. I'm not talking about, you know, for example, if we do have a broken bone or serious illness, I'm not telling you to not go see your doctor. Hello. Or that you don't occasionally need to take some form of medicine, whether it's pharmaceutical or some sort of natural, organic medicine. But bringing all that together, combining all of that, you know, a holistic approach, and pulling further and further away from external, quote, remedies. Because we've got that, and we're pioneers in this. This isn't going to happen just in our generation. We're paving the way for the next. So keep that in mind too. But I don't like using this analogy, but kind of the 12 monkey analogy, where we're laying the groundwork for subsequent beings while we still have the opportunity to be aware of soul, that we are souls with who've extended a fraction of our consciousness into these avatars, into these mind-body complexes, even as deeply regressed as they are at this point. We pave the way for the next and the next and the next round to get a stronger foothold, so to speak. And finally, the most, actually, I would say it's one of the most empowering steps you can take right now. And it's a powerful counterpoise to the regressive beings in their stranglehold right now, is to establish and begin regularly interacting with a network of other sincere self-mastery aspirants toward co-creating conscious relationships with them. Now, I'll break this down a little bit for you. I intentionally use the word network rather than tribe, because that whole ideology stemmed from the regressive non-human usurpers of this reality, the tribe mentality. In other words, the tribe mentality or the clan mentality being, we look out really well for, quote, our own, but not much beyond that. And right now, when so many of us, we're literally scattered around the world, aren't we, James? You know, just scattered around the globe, but a network wherein we are working towards the progression of the whole of consciousness, not just ourselves, but the whole of consciousness. And that's where conscious interaction and conscious relationships come into play. Conscious relationships being those wherein both or all parties focus is to help others, service to others, advance on their journeys. And in doing that, we advance our own progress. That's a conscious relationship. Now, for those of you
who just want to hold that point, Marianne, I think there's a good spot for a break in the end of this first segment. Thank you for sharing that. Could you give our listeners the website?
Oh, yes, of course. It is restoration-activationproject.com. And if you want more information around this, I've got lots of good commentaries and videos. I invite you to check out on the homepage the Progressive Co-Creation Network that I'm making available right now. So, yes.
You can also find some of her previous interview on the Cosmic Switchboard Show. And for our listeners out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and also check out our new supplement line, because we have a natural supplements that we believe in, and we know that, you know, I'm not being a doctor and here's all the medical exclaimers and whatnot, but there is something to the notion that natural supplements can play a key role in this mind, body, soul, holistic approach to reintegration, let's say. So we've reached the end of a fascinating first segment with our guest, Marianne Fisher, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.